for the motorbike, or what they're known for, is this: their brand name is Ready to Race. Ready to Race. My goodness. Can't even find, like, we tried to start the thing. I couldn't find the choke. It took 15 minutes to literally find the choke. Like, are you ready to race? Yeah, mate, we just got to start it. Running around looking for the choke. When he found the choke, he finally couldn't turn it off, and then it flooded. And so we thought, well, we'll pull a spark plug out, because that's what you do when it's flooded. It's simple. Most bikes, my bike, you just, there it is right on the side. Any logical person, put a spark plug on the side of the engine, rip it out, have a look. Oh, yeah, it's wet. No problem. Put it, just, it goes for the uninitiated. Pull the spark plug off, can't find it. They put it under the tank. To get the tank off, oh, look, I'm confusing everybody. This is like Ready to Race, like to pull a spark plug out, like an hour. That's not all. Tried to pull a spark plug out. I've got about a million spark plug spanners. Like, not seriously, not one of them fitted. They put the spark plug all the way down the bottom of the engine, and a little crossbar goes right across, so you can't get anything down the hole. Literally, 8 hours later, we were ready to race. Incredible. Unbelievable. Like, just get on the thing and start it. No, I'm ready to race in about an hour. Just got to give me a head start. KDM. I hope you're not a KDM lover. I'm scarred, mate. I'm scarred. So when you ask how am I going, Ali, I didn't sleep. I was like, yeah. But we had a great time working on the bike together, didn't we, Nick? Nick learned some new swear words and saw Dad with a temper. That was great. Great fun. Just fantastic. So truth's important. Here's it. Are you ready to race? No, it's a lie. So we've been looking at the truth of Scripture, and that's important because it's good to know where you stand, and this book is just an incredible book. I've been examining the book. I've been scrolling through Scripture. Scrolling. Not trolling, just scrolling. And just looking at the Word and seeing, comparing, you know, what we do as a church with what the Scripture says. Because it's important, isn't it? Like, to know what the reason you do what you do. It's really important. Like, we ask kids, what'd you do that for? I don't know. Well, you got to know. If you don't know why you do what you do, then why'd you do it? I don't know. No, mate, not good enough. You got to have reasons for doing that. You must have. So this is what we're trying to do. Like, as a church, we do certain things and we all need to know, why are we doing that? Where does it fit in? Is it actually being in obedience, is a step of obedience to Scripture? Because what I've found is life happens and it's quite easy just to move on in life and forget to do the things that Jesus asked us to do. Some of them are commands. Love one another. That's a command. And if we weren't deliberate about doing that, we may forget. Because we're so self-centered as people. We forget, okay, this is a command. Being salt and light to a community. Well, most churches just go, it's all about us. Like, we've got a great little group here and hang on, is that the command? No. It's be a light and let it shine. Making disciples. That just doesn't happen. It doesn't just happen. You don't wake up one morning and go, oh, we made some disciples this year. No, it actually takes effort, takes work, takes thought. How are we going to do that? Are we doing, fulfilling the command? Because the command isn't optional. Notice, Jesus didn't say, look, you guys, if you get around to it, as you're getting about your life, as you're doing life together, you know, if you get a chance, I know you're busy, but you know, make disciples. Just make a few disciples in my name. That'd be great. No, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And so now I am telling you, from this authority base that's been given to me, I'm telling you, go and make disciples in my name. Teach them everything that I have commanded you. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And be sure of this. I am with you. I won't leave you on your own. And I'll be back. And until I return, carry on the work that I've been doing. Lives depend on it. I was thinking about this morning about 3 o'clock, when Jesus will come back. I think I know. I think I've worked it out. Yeah. It's only a simple matter of maths, really. But I'm not good at maths, so don't trust me on maths. I'm not going to tell you. I'm already off the track by about 15 minutes, thanks to KDM. Ready to race. Unbelievable. So, as I said, I've been scrolling through Scripture, and this passage, I just got so much out of it this week, and I hope you get something out of it. I saw 4 steps in this passage on how to make disciples. So I'll read it, and if you're... Just see how you go. See if you can pick out what a little progression. It's like a 4-step sermon. I've added an extra step, and I've put a clause on the end. So just bear with me and see how you go. So one day, Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. And he noticed 2 empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and they were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. And so he sat in the boat and he taught the crowds from there. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it's deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night and we didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets again." And this time the nets were so full of fish that they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon realised what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and he said, "O Lord, please forgive me, I am such a sinful man." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and they followed Jesus. How did you go? Anyone want to hazard a guess of one of the four steps? Yeah, see, preaching's not that easy, is it, huh? Everyone expects you to come up with a 3-point sermon, nah. Faith, now you just can't just pull Christian words out of the air and say how Jesus is the answer. Jesus is always the answer. Faith, love. No. Don't start me. Last week was a hint. Last week was our first step. I already covered that one. Yeah, preaching in public, yeah. Anne? Teach, obey, don't be afraid. See, there's a sermon. Let me write that down. That's better than my outline. That's good. It's good to, you know, if you're reading Scripture, can I just give you a... Just do it with a notepad and take your own notes on stuff like that, because it actually pushes you to think about what is being said here. It's actually something we need to... We're trying to learn, isn't it? We're trying to apply it to our lives. That's good. So the first step I saw was, Jesus was casting the net to the whole crowd and he was teaching the word of God. He must have been teaching some of the Old Testament, sharing the good news about the kingdom coming and God and God's love. And he was telling the crowd, and they were so large that they were pushing in on him and he ended up in the water. So intent was their engagement. What's this guy saying? And, you know, it happens with crowds. They push from the back to hear better, and the people at the front are like, sorry about this. And Jesus ends up in the water. And last week we went through this list of activities that we do as a community, as a church, that sort of describe what we do in terms of our net casting, casting the net. And for me that looks like spreading the seed as far as we can, the gospel message, letting everyone know, as many people as possible, in any way possible, about the kingdom of God. And so we started looking at that. I don't want to go through all of that. Someone asked me the other day, we were in a committee meeting with Chaplaincy Incorporation meeting, whether we should expand from the Greater West area to the whole of New South Wales. And I said, yes, cast the net. Let's do it. Let's go. And so, yeah, we have done that. It's interesting to see the way this network is growing. So it's going to require some more chaplains and some more work from a certain person who stupidly said, yes, let's do it. So, but that's our business. That's the kingdom business. We are casting the net because Jesus said in one of his stories, in his parables, that we're going to invite everyone to this party. Everyone's invited. He knows that. He says, but many are invited, but few will respond. And so that's our role. Wherever we go, whatever you do, cast this net. It's a great message. The second thing I noticed, step two, making disciples, was engaging people. I think Jesus was very clever about this. See, there's two empty boats. They're sitting there. The fishermen knocked off for the day because they had no fish. And so they're cleaning their nets. And there's Peter, probably cursing because he caught no fish. Be nothing worse. All night, all day, didn't catch a fish. Nothing but net. And Jesus says to him, and I think this is a deliberate strategy. Jesus says, hey, mate, can you hold the boat for a second? That took me a long time to think of. I know it's processing. It's interesting tactic. And Peter's like, instead of fixing his nets, now he's holding the boat and he's listening to this guy preach. And he's getting the message. He's hearing it. But he's engaged. He's engaged with Jesus. Notice Jesus didn't say, hey, would you like a hand to clean the nets? I think this is interesting. He said, he invited Peter into his world and he said, come and give me a hand to do this. It's interesting. The other day, we were at the youth group and I thought, I'm going to try this. So there were parents around. I said, hey, mate, can you give us a hand to give me a lift with the Barbie? Sure. And we're working lifting the Barbie, we're working, and got this guy, and he's like engaged. Tells me, you know, when I was a kid, I said, you go to church? Go, nah. I used to when I was a kid, used to go to youth group. So we've got a connection, we've got a conversation going. And before we left, he made sure that he'd come up and he shook my hand. And so we've got a relationship started. And I think that's important. I think this is what Jesus did. Can you give us a lift, mate? Not a problem. Can you turn a few snags on the Barbie? Not a problem. Can you give me a hand to put this up? Sure. I think it's a way of inviting people. Like most people, you say, do you want a hand? They go, no, I'm right. But if you say, can you give me a hand? They go, sure, not a problem. I think that's what Jesus did. He looked for an opportunity to engage people. And he knew Peter and he thought, I'm going to get this guy on board. And that's what he did. Yeah, so I know, look for opportunities to do that. I think it's especially blokes. We love to do something with our hands and standing around a post hole having a chat. Mate, your turn, dig. People help. They want to help. The third thing, I need to keep moving. Third thing was, anyone see the third thing? This is, yeah, go. He built a deeper relationship. See, he said, let's go out deeper. And the boat's a perfect opportunity, really. Now he's on board. And there they are, they're in the boat together. And they're spending quality time together. They're doing something together. Fishing. And successful too. It's had a great day out. Throwing out the nets. But it was in this conversation, as they were talking, as things were happening. Obviously, they caught a lot of fish. That Simon was convicted and he thought, wow, who is this guy? And I think it's in these conversations that people come to a realization of who Jesus is. It's not in the first conversation, can you give me a hand? It's as you go deeper and you start to, hey, why don't you come around to my place? Would you be interested in doing a Bible study together? How about we make this a regular thing? Why don't we catch up? Coffee. Let's go deeper. That's fascinating for me. And most conversations, I'm not sure about you, but a lot of our conversations, they don't go deeper. We just talk continually. How's your week? Good, mate. No worries. Great. Blah, blah. Chat, chat, chat. Oh, my goodness. Go deeper. Ask a deeper question. I asked someone the other week, what's the hardest thing that's ever happened to you? Well, that was a deep question. An hour later, I was still standing there. But that's it's an invitation from Jesus. Let's go deeper. And Jesus wants to take us deeper. He's not interested in the superficial. He wants to go deeper. And I'm not sure if you've been looking at our newsletter, but that's going to be our catchphrase. We've been plastering it on. And go deeper. It's an invitation to go deeper with Jesus. And we've made deeper an acronym, or go deeper an acronym. And the first one is deny. Second one's encourage. Third one's eat. Fourth one's pray. The fifth one is explain the scriptures. And the fifth one's remain. Sixth one's remain. So I'm up to D today, and it's only very brief, because my fourth step was once they'd caught the fish, this is a crucial step. As soon as they landed, the passage said, as soon as they landed, they left everything and they followed Jesus. Wow, that is massive. The disciples had a choice to make. Put yourself in the position. It says Peter was the business owner. And he's just got two boatfuls of fish. And there's a crowd of people standing there. And he's a businessman. And he's seen dollar signs. Wouldn't you? All right. And he started to think, hey, Jesus, how about we do this same time next week? Yeah, exactly. I'll see you on the shore. We'll be here. I'll give you a hand. I'll hold the boat. You preach. We go fishing. And we just turned over a few bucks. Didn't work that way. Because Jesus said, if you're interested in following me, you've got to leave everything. Oh, man, what a stupid decision. It is in a worldly sense. It's like the world says, what are you guys doing? I've got some stories to tell. They're deeper down. Not ready to come out, so... And this is the principle, deny yourself. Can anyone think of a Bible verse while I'm that talks about? Ah, far out. I need to get the clicker. Can you read that, Emma, in a big voice? Isn't that interesting? That's an invitation to deny yourself. No, put the kingdom first. Deny yourself. There's the kingdom principles. Live right, and everything else will be supplied for your needs. And this is a step of faith. This is a massive step of faith, and it's a reason why we put it first, deny. It's a major thing. And talk about, you go through the Gospels, and it's all there. Take up your cross. Follow me. Lay down your life. Deny yourself. It's not an easy thing. It's in terms of a worldly thing. It's just a countercultural idea, but it impacts life. Why would you do that is the question. Because what you're saying is, my life is no longer in my hands, my life belongs to God, and I'm going to give my entire life to God. He's going to come first. I trust God so much in this that I know everything else will sort itself out. I don't have to worry about that. As I said, there'll be some stories told about that as we go down the track. But I was reading this book the other day, Money, Sex and Eternal Life. It's an attention grabber, obviously. It's not written for Christians. It's a Christian book. But it's written for people who want to understand the meaning of life and the struggles with money and sex. And so I'm reading this book the other day. A friend of mine, John Bryant, I met with him a few times as a mentor. He helped set up the idea of the newsletter. Come and talk to us about that initially. And he's a local guy up in Bilpin. And his story, I haven't got time to tell you all this story. I've got some free books to give away. I can get more. Because he's just this guy who just wants to get this message out. And look, it's one of the best books I've ever read, in all honesty. I told him that on Tuesday. I said, mate, it's incredible. And so one of the stories is, in terms of denying self, he uses this verse, seek first the kingdom. And he talks about this situation where he was working for someone. They ripped him off to the tune of $200,000. And he's like, oh, far out. Everyone's saying, mate, you've got to take him to court. You've got to get this money back. And he said, you know, the Bible doesn't say that. And, you know, deny yourself. I'm just going to leave it in God's hands. God will work this out. And the short story of it is, he ends up being at home, looking in the newspaper, seeing sees this business opportunity. I'm not going to tell you the story, what it is. He sees a business opportunity, turns 20-somethings. He goes, wow, this is an opportunity. He buys a whole lot more to the point where he owns all of this. He gets the rights to all of, I'll tell you what it is, to all of the shipping containers that are coming into Australia. He bought 20, sold them, thought, hey, here's an opportunity. He's just incredible. So he buys the shipping rights to, and then he sells to all the people who supply the shipping containers. He's got the rights to everything. And he ended up selling that business for $7.5 million. And he says, if I had to spend all my time seeking that $200,000, going people through court, blah, 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 not trusting God, I wouldn't have had this opportunity. It's just one story out of hundreds. That's an exaggeration. Out of a lot. That he just goes, this is how I put God first, in a very real practical way. He just did it. I got five books. If you read it, give it away to someone, especially someone who doesn't know God, because really it's a gospel story. It's about his discovery of how he discovered the meaning of life. And there you go. So review. Let's review. First step, cast the net wide. Wherever you go, whatever you do, share the love of God. You know, you do it in numerous ways. The way you work, your work ethic. Are you honest? Do you rip people off? People are watching. Wherever you go, cast the net. Don't you worry, they'll be watching. And people will be impacted. Step two, engage with people. Wherever you are, invite them in to something. Do something. Hey, I'm doing this. Why don't you join in? Sure. Step three, go deeper. Don't just have, you know, airy-fairy conversations every week. Football's good. Cricket's great. But Ali takes it deeper. Really important to learn that skill. Let's go deeper within our own conversations, not just small talk. And lastly, this is the stage where most of us are at today. Trying to discover, what does it mean to deny myself? And this is a lifelong process, obviously. This is what the word transformation is all about. It's a transformational work. It's almost like it's a trade, isn't it? A constant trade-off. Jesus is constantly challenging us. Today, will you deny yourself? Yeah, I did that yesterday. Today is my day. It's a day off. I need to, you know, and we justify ourselves. And so this trust thing, going deeper with Jesus, is, it's not an easy thing to do, and it's something, it's a skill we have to learn. One young lady in our church has decided to go deeper, literally deeper, next week. She's going to be baptized. Couldn't think of a better analogy, Paul, really, going deeper, except the pool's only about 1 foot. It'll take about three or four people to stand on top and actually get her under. No, not true. We've got a pool, and she's saying is, Jesus, I'm going to lay down my life for you, knowing that when I come up, I'll be a new person. I'm raised to a different person, and I'm going to give you my life. The old is gone, and the new has come. What a great example. If you're not encouraged by that, then just check your pulse. Because this is what it's about, isn't it? We just talked about is our command is to make disciples and baptize them, and now we're doing it next week. Not weather permitting, because it doesn't say if it's fine outside and it's nice and warm. No, it just says get wet in Jesus' name. And so that's what we'll do. And because it's encouraged, it will be a huge encouragement, I can tell you, next week. It will be an encouragement to see someone obeying the command of Jesus. So don't leave it till next week. If you would like, if you haven't been baptized, if you're thinking, you know what, I would like to go deeper, now's an opportunity to come up and say this week, Glenn, let's have a chat. I want to go deeper with Jesus. Don't just get there next week and go, oh, that sounds like a good idea to me. Come and have a chat about it. So, yeah, next week, encourage. And we're going to do eat as well. Of course, in the week, there's two E's. So come and support. Okay, so this is my final clause, clause A. I think this is important. It was this observation I noticed as, you know, the author went to so much trouble putting this in that it would be wrong for us to just to skip over it. Ben, you with me, mate? This is good. Here we go. At the beginning of the story, how many boats?
Two
boats. Were they? What was their condition? At the end of the story, what's the condition of the boats? Two boats full. Jesus makes his, the author Matthew actually, I think he makes his point. And for me, it's probably the main point of the passage. It was probably symbolic of what was actually happening to Peter. Because at the beginning of the story, Peter's vessel was empty. He was focused on business. He was empty. He didn't have relationship with God. Maybe he did. Maybe he knew God a little bit, but nothing compared to by the end of the story when his boat was full. Jesus, I know who you are, confessed his sin, fell on his face and said, I'm leaving everything. The difference between filled, empty and full is a dramatic change in a person's life. And maybe you're sitting there today and you're thinking, I feel empty. My life is empty. I just don't know what's going on. Well, it could be the fact that you're not filled with the love of God. Because I think that's what happens. That God's love invades a person's life and he fills us, overflowing. So this love just spills out over everyone. That's what's really going on here. It's not, Jesus isn't inviting you to sign up for a list of rules. He's not saying, come follow me, now just, you know, sign this and follow these rules. He's saying, come and be part of a relationship. I want to be part of a relationship with you. And it's going to change our lives. Come and be filled with the love. Come and fill your vessel with the love of Jesus. And join a band of brothers and sisters, seeing it's Women's Day. Come and join this group they call a church, who actually love you and demonstrate Jesus' love to others. It's not just airy-fairy. It's not just that we come here once a week and we put on our makeup and our smiles and we turn up once a week and we sing some songs and go home. That's not a church. It's not a church I want to be part of. The church I want to be part of is a church of band of brothers who are in this thing together, who we support financially, we love, we care for, we lift each other up. Next week, that's the story. encourage. It's about lifting this person up, and we'll see what happens next week. Can I encourage you to come along next week? It's going to be a fantastic day. If you'd like to go deeper with Jesus today, I invite you to pray this prayer. Jesus, thank you for your invitation to follow you. I accept. Fill my life with your love today. Amen. Simple, accept. Yes, I'm in. Or I'm out. Let's play the video, go deeper. As you do, consider maybe your next step of faith. Because it's not just once you make a decision. Following Jesus is a journey. It's one step after the other, challenge after other. Let's go deeper. We'll see you all next week.